This episode of Swindled may contain graphic descriptions or audio recordings of disturbing events which may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
She was declining, she was refusing the bottle, and, you know, my thought was that she just needed to drink and eat, and that's why she was losing her weakness, or she was getting more weak. But then I came home from work, and she was sleeping, and went to pick her up to feed her, and I couldn't wake her up.
In early July 2025, Stephen Dexter found himself in a place familiar to many new parents, standing in the formula aisle of a grocery store, overwhelmed by options. Gut health, immune support, cognitive development. Where do you even start? Doctors had told Stephen and his wife, Yurani, that breastfeeding was best, but Yurani wasn't producing enough milk, so they would need to supplement the feedings of their week-old daughter, Rose. Stephen spared no expense. He reached for the most expensive can on the shelf and started reading. "It said all the things I was looking for," Stephen recalled. "And it said all the things I thought I would not want, as it had a bunch of no's on there. No corn syrup, no gluten, no soy, no GMOs, no palm oil, no artificial growth hormones. It sounded good, so Stephen bought it, and at first, little Rose seemed to like it just fine. But over the next several weeks, Stephen and Yurani began noticing subtle changes. Rose grew fussier, gassier, her eyelids started to droop, and she was losing weight. Eventually, she began refusing the bottle altogether. Yurani was adamant that something was wrong, but their pediatrician assured the Dexters that Rose's development was normal. A few weeks later, that reassurance evaporated. When Stephen went to pick up Rose from her bassinet to feed her, her body was limp, and she was completely unresponsive.
She was breathing, but she wouldn't wake up. So we packed the car and went to the emergency room.
The Dexter family was flown by air ambulance from the emergency room in Flagstaff to a children's hospital in Phoenix. Doctors there told them Rose's symptoms pointed to two possibilities: a neuromuscular disorder or a rare but potentially life-threatening illness called infant botulism, which is caused by the ingestion of Clostridium botulinum spores. A definitive diagnosis would take time, and time was something Rose did not have. So, just in case, the medical team treated her for botulism before laboratory confirmation. To everybody's relief, Rose began improving almost immediately. Over the next 2 weeks, she slowly regained her strength and energy. Eventually, she had recovered enough to go home, though she still needed a feeding tube. At that point, the Dexters still had no idea how Rose had contracted the illness. Then, 2 months later, they received a call from the California Department of Public Health. "What kind of formula had Rose been drinking when she became sick?" the caller asked. "Hang on, let me look," Stephen said. "We're actually still using the same brand. I have it right here. It's called By Heart."
We started By Heart because of how frustrating our own experiences were of choosing a formula we wanted for our own babies. We went to the aisle, we looked at hundreds of options. I kept feeling like no matter what I would choose, I'd have to compromise, and I was deeply frustrated. I knew that this product had to work harder for my baby than anything.
By Heart's sibling co-founders, Mia Funt and Ron Beldegren, experienced that same analysis paralysis in the formula aisle that so many other parents have suffered from when they had their firstborns. But what really stood out amongst the smorgasbord of products was the lack of innovation. Despite decades of advances in breast milk research and infant nutrition, the most popular formulas had barely changed over the past 40 or 50 years. For something as consequential as feeding a newborn, the options felt extremely outdated. Mia and Ron discussed their experiences and envisioned something different, a formula designed to be as close as humanly possible to nature's first recipe, a formula that used organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim, with more omega-3 fatty acids and lactoferrin proteins. Every ingredient would be carefully selected, artisanally crafted in small batches, farm to bottle, presented in cute little packaging. In September 2016, Mia, a marketing professional, and Ron, a healthcare-focused hedge fund manager, decided to do things a little differently by creating the formula every millennial parent dreamed of. They quickly discovered why no one had beaten them to it. The formula industry's barriers to entry were extreme. Launching a new infant formula from scratch was more akin to developing a new pharmaceutical drug than producing a food item. It would require extensive research and testing, regulatory scrutiny, specialized manufacturing capabilities, and rigorous quality controls. In other words, Mia and Ron's venture would require an enormous investment of time and money before it would realize a single drop of profitability. This explained why all the formulas currently on the market were more or less the same, despite the illusion of choice. They were white labels, Ron and Mia discovered. A shortcut to market. Different branding, but the same FDA-approved recipe. In reality, nearly the entire infant formula industry was controlled by three corporate behemoths.
Reality is, 90% of that shelf has been three companies that have dominated for 100 years, and every other new entrant in the last 15 years have taken the same path, and that is to outsource to the one and only contract manufacturer in the country, rely on sort of a expedited generics-like path to market, which only enables incremental change based on existing recipes. Mm-hmm. And so it's a much more fragile supply chain than people realize.
If anything, those inconvenient truths only emboldened Ron and Mia to be unwavering in their vision. Something needed to change. Over the next 5 years, the brother and sister team worked with experts across nearly every stage of research, development, manufacturing, and supply. The result was By Heart Whole Nutrition Infant Formula. Venture capitalists loved the idea. By the end of 2021, By Heart had raised nearly $200 million. The company was able to fund its own clinical trial, which produced promising results. It also acquired its first manufacturing facility in Reading, Pennsylvania, and invested more than $20 million to get the plant up and running.
So proud to welcome you to our facility here in Reading, Pennsylvania. This is our Center of Excellence for Infant Nutrition.
In March 2022, By Heart became the first new FDA-registered U.S. infant formula manufacturer in more than 15 years. The company was primed to disrupt the industry. What Mia and Ron hadn't anticipated, however, was that a confluence of factors would disrupt it for them.
Some parents looking to buy baby formula say they are finding empty shelves. Take a look. Before the pandemic, baby formula powder was in stock 95% of the time. Now it's as low as 75% in certain areas.
Labor shortages and a major product recall has panicked parents facing empty store shelves and few options.
But one baby formula maker is not experiencing a shortage. Pennsylvania-based By Heart launched its product in March. The company says that its formula is made with clean ingredients and is based on the latest nutrition research.
By Heart's launch could not have come at a more consequential moment. In early 2022, a nationwide infant formula shortage was rapidly devolving into a national crisis. And because By Heart controlled its own manufacturing and much of its supply chain, the startup was uniquely positioned to capitalize. Demand was immediate and overwhelming, and By Heart struggled to keep up as its customer wait list soared into the thousands. The circumstances were difficult to navigate for the young company. There were definitely some growing pains, but the exposure was invaluable. By Heart emerged from the shortage as a proven, valuable commodity. Rapid expansion followed. In 2023, By Heart acquired another manufacturing plant in Iowa and a packaging facility in Oregon. Soon, the company was producing roughly 200,000 cans of formula a month, with products on the shelves of major retailers, including Walmart, Target, Publix, and Whole Foods. By Heart was reportedly on pace to overtake Nestle as the third largest infant formula company in the country. But then, everything went horribly wrong.
Hi, Mia here from By Heart. I wanted to take a few minutes to connect parent-to-parent face-to-face and share an update with you. Earlier today, the FDA announced a broad investigation into infant botulism among babies in the U.S. About 83 cases have been identified since August of 2025, and of these, in 13 cases, babies drank By Heart infant formula at some point in their feeding journey. When we found this out, we immediately, in an abundance of caution, decided to voluntarily recall two batches of By Heart infant formula.
On November 8, 2025, By Heart announced that it was voluntarily recalling two batches of its whole nutrition infant formula after the California Department of Public Health had noticed that a disproportionate number of infant botulism cases beginning in August had been traced to the company's product. The recall, By Heart emphasized, was out of an abundance of caution because never in the history of baby formula has an outbreak of botulism been linked to powdered formula. There is no reason to believe that infant formula can even cause infant botulism, co-founder Mia Funt said in a social media post.
In fact, the FDA has never found a direct connection between infant formula and infant botulism, and no related toxin has been found in By Heart. Having said that, we decided to remove these two batches from the shelf because nothing's more important to us than your peace of mind and your baby's safety.
By Heart announced that in addition to offering the FDA, the CDC, and the California Department of Health unrestricted access to its facilities and unopened products, it would also pursue independent, expedited testing to prove that no in-house contamination had occurred. However, a few days later, By Heart announced that it was shutting down its plants and expanding its recall to include all of its products. Turns out, the company's third-party tests had revealed the presence of Clostridium botulinum type A. Even more concerning, the FDA and CDC alerted that the contamination could not be isolated to specific lots, which meant that investigators couldn't, quote, rule out the possibility that contamination might have affected all By Heart formula products ever made since day one.
Well, a botulism outbreak linked to By Heart infant formula has now reached 51 cases across 19 states. By Heart voluntarily recalled all of its baby formula products after tests suggested potential contamination with the bacteria that causes botulism. Now a law firm is suing By Heart on behalf of nearly 30 families.
At least 18 lawsuits representing dozens of plaintiffs have been filed against By Heart. The complaints allege that the company sold defective products and failed in its duty to ensure they were safe. Plaintiffs are seeking compensation for medical expenses, emotional distress, and other damages. Among them are Stephen and Irani Dexter, who sued on behalf of their daughter, Rose.
I have to trust what's on the label. I have to trust where I'm getting it. Our child doesn't seem to have any lasting effects. So there's hope in that sense. You know, the one mistake I made was I wish I had taken her to the doctor and insisted to look a little closer, a little sooner.
As By Heart prepares for litigation and an eventual return to market, the company's brief history has come under renewed scrutiny. Regulators and attorneys have pored over inspection reports, testing records, and internal documents in an effort to determine how the contamination occurred. No definitive source has been identified, though investigators suspect the whole milk ingredient is to blame. The search for answers has also rediscovered something else. By Heart had faced contamination concerns almost from the beginning. Inspection records from the summer of 2022, the same year By Heart launched, documented mold, water leaks, and insects inside its Reading, Pennsylvania factory. Environmental testing had also detected a potentially deadly bacterium in the plant's processing environment. At the time, By Heart denied responsibility, but issued a small recall in response that December, which largely flew under the radar. The true irony, however, is that the bacteria in question, Cronobacter sakazaki, was a primary contributor to the national shortage that helped propel ByHeart into prominence just months earlier, when its discovery at one of the country's largest formula production facilities shut down nearly half of the country's formula supply. That shortage exposed how flawed the formula industry truly is. It also exposed how truly vulnerable a global powers institutions can become when ineffectiveness is the goal. Who is truly steering this ship, anyway? Oh, we know, and it becomes more apparent every day. And the saddest part about it, as unacceptable as an infant formula shortage in one of the wealthiest nations in the world may seem, it was merely one chapter in the much longer and far more troubling history of the company at the center of it all. Behold the power and the ruthlessness of Abbott Laboratories on this episode of Swindled.
They bribed government officials,
Support for Swindled comes from Home Chef. I did the math on how much I spent eating out this summer, and honestly, I think you should mind your own business. All you need to know is that I'm getting back on track. I'm trying to cook more and order less by using Home Chef. Home Chef sends fresh ingredients and easy-to-follow recipes right to your door, which means no wandering around the grocery store pretending you have a plan. I've been getting meals like jalapeno popper chicken with corn and zucchini, and what I like most is how little work they require. You can choose a traditional 30-minute meal, an oven-ready tray, or even a quick microwave lunch. The portions are already figured out, prep is minimal, and cleanup doesn't ruin the rest of your night. There are more than 30 options every week, including calorie-conscious and GLP-1 friendly meals, so it's easy to find something that fits your routine. And Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Just one more reason people love it. Home Chef is rated number one by users of other meal kits for quality, convenience, value, taste, and recipe ease. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 50% off and free shipping for your first box, plus free dessert for life. Go to homechef.com/swindled. That's homechef.com/swindled. For 50% off your first box and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/swindled. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
Parents out there, some pretty popular powdered baby formulas are getting pulled off the shelves. You should know about this. Abbott Labs recalling some of their Similac, Alimentum, also L-Care baby formulas. The FDA is investigating four different illnesses in infants that could be connected to the formula. One may have contributed to a death. They're still investigating, but two of those instances were right here in Texas.
On Thursday, February 17th, 2022, a recall notice was issued in the United States for three infant formulas produced by Abbott Nutrition, including Similac, one of the most popular brands in the country. The Food and Drug Administration was investigating reports that four infants in three different states had been sickened by Chronobacter sakazaki, a naturally occurring environmental pathogen found in soil and water that thrives in dried milk and powdered infant formula, which are rarely exposed to high heat. Chronobacter, whose name is derived from Cronus, the titan in Greek mythology, best known for devouring his own children, has an especially insidious effect on babies. Once ingested, the bacteria can cross from the intestinal tract into the bloodstream, potentially causing sepsis, seizures, brain abscesses, meningitis, and even death. In infants 2 months and younger, the fatality rate is between 40 and 50%. Fortunately, Chronobacter infections are rare. Estimates suggest fewer than 20 cases are reported in the United States each year, but in 2022, most states were not required to report them, so the true number was largely unknown. Still, four hospitalizations, including one death, were enough to grab the FDA's attention, especially when investigators discovered that the common link was one of the nation's best-selling brands. as this is a product used as the sole source of nutrition for many of our nation's newborns and infants. The FDA is deeply concerned about these reports of bacterial infections. FDA Deputy Commissioner for Food Policy and Response, Frank Yannis, said in a statement. The agency reassured the public that it was working quickly to identify and control the source of the contamination. Abbott Nutrition's massive production facility in Sturgis, Michigan, was the leading suspect, but investigators had not yet established a definitive connection, and a proper inspection would take weeks. As a precaution, the company voluntarily recalled roughly 70 million cans of formula that were produced there. We deeply regret the concern and inconvenience this situation will cause parents, caregivers, and healthcare professionals, Abbott said. Inconvenience was an understatement. Thanks to COVID-era supply chain disruptions and labor shortages, the United States was already grappling with a dwindling supply of infant formula. Removing tens of millions of cans from circulation overnight and shutting down one of the country's largest formula factories would almost instantly turn the shortage into a crisis. The industry was so hyper-concentrated that there was simply no other company capable of filling the void. Abbott Laboratories Nutrition Division, along with Reckitt's Mead Johnson and Nestle-owned Gerber, has dominated the multi-billion dollar market for decades. Abbott alone produces 40% of all infant formula products consumed in the U.S. Its Sturgis plant, the one under investigation, accounted for at least half of that production. Yet, even with that massive market share, Abbott's formula business is only a sliver of the company's 40-plus billion-dollar-a-year healthcare empire. The 134-year-old Illinois company makes most of its money from medical devices and diagnostics. A temporary hiccup in its formula business would amount to little more than a rounding error at the end of the year. Abbott would be okay. As for the children, for whom the recalled products were a basic necessity essential for survival, that was yet to be determined. By the end of February, the shortage was getting worse. Russia's invasion of Ukraine further strained global supply chains, including supplies of sunflower oil, an ingredient used in some formulas. Parents began panic buying whatever they could find. Then Abbott expanded its recall to include even more products following a report of another infant death associated with a Kronerbacter infection.
Concerns are growing over potentially contaminated baby formula. The FDA is expanding its investigation following reports of infants becoming sick and a second death.
At least 8 additional babies have allegedly gotten sick, all from what their family's lawyer tells us was powdered formula made at Abbott Nutrition's plant in Sturgis, Michigan.
The FDA completed its 6-week inspection of Abbott's 788,000 square foot Sturgis facility on March 18, 2022. The results, as FDA Commissioner Robert Califf later described, were, quote, egregiously unsanitary and shocking.
Frankly, the inspection results were shocking. Standing water, cracks in the key equipment that present the potential for bacterial contamination to persist, particularly in the presence of moisture, leaks in the roof, a previous citation for inadequate hand washing, and current poor foot sanitation, bacteria growing from multiple sites, and many signs of a disappointing lack of attention to the culture of safety in this product that is so essential to the lives of our most precious people. Let's say you had a next door neighbor who had leaks in the roof. They didn't wash their hands. They had bacteria growing all over the kitchen. You walked in and there was standing water on the counters and the floor. You probably wouldn't want your infant eating in that kitchen.
As suspected, the inspector's preliminary report documented traces of at least 5 strains of Kronerbacter on surfaces throughout the plant. Abbott agreed to shut down the Sturgis plant indefinitely. Before production could resume, the company would have to address the FDA's findings and complete a sweeping list of corrective actions laid out in a consent decree with the Justice Department. This entire process could take months. In the meantime, one of the country's largest formula plants would remain offline, all but guaranteeing that an already dire shortage would get worse. And even when Sturgis did resume, it would take weeks to refill the supply. This had all the makings of a disaster. But don't worry. Abbott Laboratories was deeply, deeply sorry.
The current infant formula shortage is heartbreaking. On behalf of everyone at Abbott, I want to express our extraordinary disappointment about the shortage. We are deeply, deeply sorry. And we are committed to ensuring that this never happens again.
The silver lining, at least for Abbott, arrived in May. The FDA announced that it could not establish a definitive link between the Cronobacter contamination at the plant and the illnesses and deaths under investigation. Genetic sequencing of the available samples did not match the strains recovered from the factory, nor did the strains taken from the infants match one another. Therefore, the evidence was inconclusive. Establishing a direct link had always been unlikely. Cronobacter bacteria do not uniformly contaminate, meaning one scoop of formula or one can could test positive while another from the same production run might not. Finding the culprit after the fact was like searching for a single bacterial cell in a haystack.
The FDA and CDC's investigation could not conclude that the egregiously unsanitary conditions in the Abbott facility caused the illnesses reported in our timeline. However, we cannot rule it out either, as the confluence of events is highly unusual. There is no dispute that the facility was unacceptably insanitary as evidenced by the consent decree.
Abbott's Sturgis factory was neither implicated nor ruled out, but that didn't stop the company from chalking up the findings, or lack thereof, as a win. The formula from the plant did not cause these infant illnesses, the Abbott corporate account confidently tweeted. Meanwhile, for those in need, Abbott's imagined victory was little consolation.
The baby formula shortage has gotten worse, now approaching 70% nationwide. Every state now reports empty shelves, with formula all but impossible to find in many big cities.
So I'm home again. Formula is not available on any of the shelves. They're empty. Nowhere near 3 hours near me. Can't get the formula. What are we going to do? Where are we going to go from here? How do formula moms feed their kids? What are our options?
Tonight, a dire consequence of that nationwide shortage. Two children hospitalized in Tennessee after their parents were forced to find an alternative to their specialized formula made by Abbott.
By mid-May 2022, parents across the country were growing desperate, spending hours racing from store to store, only to find nothing but empty shelves. The shortage was especially dangerous for low-income families and parents of children with allergies, digestive issues, or metabolic disorders who depended on specialty formulas that couldn't simply be swapped for whatever they happened to find. The Biden administration stepped in to help mitigate the supply issues. On May 18, 2022, the president announced that he was invoking the Defense Production Act, which would give infant formula manufacturers priority access to scarce ingredients and supplies.
I'm invoking what they call the Defense Production Act to ensure that manufacturers have the necessary ingredients to make safe, healthy infant formula here at home.
That same day, the White House also found room in its roughly $800 billion military budget to launch Operation Fly Formula, an emergency airlift that deployed military resources to ferry tens of thousands of pounds of infant formula into the United States from more developed countries that somehow had managed to keep their babies fed. The federal intervention helped prevent an already critical shortage from worsening, but imported formula and emergency measures could only do so much. As expected, the country's supply would not return to normal until Abbott's massive Sturgis operation was back up and running. That finally happened on June 4th, 2022, nearly 4 months after the plant had shut down.
Good evening. We begin tonight with the latest on the nationwide baby formula shortage. Today, Abbott, the country's largest baby formula manufacturer, announced that production has resumed at its plant in Sturgis, Michigan, for the first time since February.
But just when you think things were getting back to normal,
a major setback in resolving the baby formula shortage. The nation's largest baby formula manufacturer has stopped production at its Michigan plant once again. Abbott Nutrition says Monday's severe storms flooded its facility in Sturgis.
How appropriate. The formula shortage was a perfect storm. A perfect storm of global pandemic and war, of supply chain disruptions and labor shortages, of corporate consolidation and a fragile manufacturing system in which the loss of a single factory could become a national emergency. And as ongoing investigations would reveal, the formula shortage was also a perfect storm of negligence, complacency, and a remarkable lack of accountability. A perfect storm of regulatory failures. A perfect storm of bureaucratic delays. A perfect storm of warnings that went unheeded.
A perfect storm of systemic vulnerabilities. That's how the FDA is describing what led to a devastating baby formula shortage that's still going on today.
The following is a paid advertisement for the Swindle Valued Listener Rewards Program.
Ouch! Did you hurt your finger again pressing the skip button during the advertisements? Oh no! Did another rerun suddenly appearing in your feed ruin your day? Who can possibly pay attention to the horrors of the modern world when such unspeakable atrocities are taking place right here on your own phone? Fear not. There's a quick and easy solution. Introducing the new and improved Swindle Valued Listener Rewards Program. The revolutionary new technology that keeps you from crying in the comments. With just a few easy clicks, you'll receive early access to new episodes, exclusive access to bonus episodes, and a completely advertisement and rerun-free listening experience. Still skeptical? Listen to what becoming a valued listener did for this satisfied customer.
Hola, me llamo S. Edwards. ¿Cómo estás?
Wife thinks this $5 a month is going towards a language learning subscription, but really, I just love being ad-free. Oh, shit, here she comes.
Sí, es muy, muy bien. Me gusta value listener.
Join the millions of swindled listeners who have already discovered the relief of becoming a valued listener. Try it from the comfort of your own home today. Also, act now and you'll receive the Valuable News for Valued Listeners update show at no extra cost. That's a $5,000 value for only one easy monthly payment of $4.99.
Go to valuedlistener.com to sign up using Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Patreon. No long-term commitments, satisfaction guaranteed, foreign currency accepted. Cancel anytime, please.
Just give us your money.
Support for Swindled comes from Blue Land. We hear a lot about reducing single-use plastics, but one of the easiest places to start is with the stuff you're already buying all the time, like laundry detergent. I've been using Blue Land for a while now, and they just introduced Power Duo, their new dual-layer laundry detergent tablet designed for the loads that need a little extra help. Think sweaty clothes, musty towels, food stains, pet bedding. Power Duo combines stain-fighting enzymes with odor-fighting technology for a deeper clean while still using a plastic-free, microplastic-free formula that's hypoallergenic and safe for sensitive skin. And there's no measuring or giant detergent jug. Just drop a pre-measured tablet directly into the drum and wash as usual. Blue Land is a certified B Corp and Leaping Bunny cruelty-free certified. Their formulas are EPA Safer Choice certified, and many products have also earned Cradle to Cradle's Gold Material Health Certificate. I'm a huge fan, and if you're looking to make a small change in your routine, you can get 15% off your first order at blueland.com/swindled. That's 15% off your first order at blueland.com/swindled.
So, delay. How did so many things fall through the cracks?
Well, I think this was just absolutely a perfect storm. I mean, you had concerns at the plant in 2019. The FDA wasn't allowed to get back in during COVID, during 2020. They finally get back in 2021. They have concerns, but by the time they get back, it's the Omicron wave. Abbott holds them off, says, COVID, please stay away for now. When they get back in, they find these shocking conditions. And by then, we already have reports of four babies who had grown ill from the formula that they drank in the plant. Now, to be sure, the FDA and CDC say they do not have conclusive evidence that this plant caused these children's illnesses, but they also say that they can't rule it out. So there still are really, really big concerns on this.
As the formula shortage and the Abbott recall unfolded throughout 2022, new revelations raised questions about what had been happening inside the Sturgis plant long before it was shut down. One of the loudest voices demanding answers came from Connecticut Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro, who'd obtained an explosive 34-page whistleblower complaint filed by a former Abbott Quality Assurance employee who alleged a, quote, litany of violations and contamination problems at the facility. According to that anonymous former employee, the problems inside the plant went far beyond anything the public had been told. He alleged that Abbott routinely prioritized production targets over product safety. Aging equipment had fallen into disrepair, creating conditions where bacteria could thrive. Suspected contaminations weren't properly investigated. And most disturbingly, he claimed management instructed employees to falsify or sanitize records to keep regulators from discovering the truth. One example involved a batch of formula that tested positive for microorganisms shortly before a 2019 FDA inspection. According to the whistleblower, Abbott removed some of the affected product from distribution, but shipped the rest without additional testing. FDA inspectors never discovered what had happened, and afterward, the whistleblower said, employees essentially celebrated their good fortune. One manager was reportedly, quote, amazed that they had gotten away with it. The whistleblower claimed he repeatedly raised concerns about these practices internally, but rather than address them, he alleged, Abbott retaliated. In August 2020, he was fired.
If the allegations are true, this company has lied, cut corners, falsified records to cover up their misdoings at the sake of infant health. This is plain wrong.
When Representative DeLauro made the report public, Abbott defended itself by dismissing the whistleblower as nothing more than a disgruntled employee. The company said the man had been terminated for serious violations of its own food safety policies and accused him of making, quote, evolving, new, and escalating allegations after his dismissal. Abbott would later insist the man's claims were not substantiated by the FDA and complained that people with, quote, questionable agendas were being given credibility at the expense of the nation's formula supply. But whether the whistleblower was credible or not was only part of the problem. His complaint was dated October 2021, roughly 4 months before the recall. It had been submitted to the FDA electronically, while hard copies were mailed to several agency officials. But amid COVID-related staffing problems, those documents reportedly disappeared into the agency's mailroom, where they sat for months before reaching the people who were supposed to see them. By the time the allegations received serious attention, babies were already getting sick and dying. The FDA didn't interview the whistleblower until 2 months later, on December 22, 2021. Armed with the information provided during their three-hour video call, inspectors planned a visit to the Sturgis factory in early January. But Abbott stalled, claiming a COVID outbreak among its employees, to which the FDA said, "Aw, shucks," and agreed to wait it out. But after a third report of Chronobacter illness landed on the FDA's desk, the agency insisted on proceeding with the inspection, which took place on January 31st, 2022. After discovering the previously described egregiously unsanitary conditions, the FDA urged Abbott to recall its products on February 15th. The company didn't budge until regulators released a public warning 2 days later.
It all begs the question, why did the FDA not spring into action? Why did it take 4 months to pull this formula off the store shelves? How many more illnesses and deaths were caused due to the FDA's slow response? Who received the report at the FDA? What did they do with the report? Who in the leadership had access to that report? Who didn't have access to that report? And why was there no reaction? It makes me question which side the FDA is on. Are they on the side of Abbott and industry, or on the side of the American consumers, in this case, babies and their moms and dads?
FDA Commissioner Robert Califf later acknowledged that the agency's response had been too slow and some of its decisions suboptimal. The pandemic certainly hadn't helped. According to the Associated Press, the FDA skipped roughly 15,000 food safety inspections during those years. In 2020, none of the country's three largest formula manufacturers were inspected at all. Abbott's Sturgis plant went nearly 2 years without one. When inspectors finally returned in September 2021, they found standing water and sanitation problems. Astonishingly, that same day, someone else at the FDA received a report about a Minnesota infant hospitalized with a Cronerbacter infection after consuming Similac made in Sturgis. The inspectors inside the plant at that very moment were never told. The FDA allowed Abbott to address the problems on its own, and when regulators returned months later, they found that many of them remained. Why? That was another question federal lawmakers wanted answered. What was the Abbott Laboratories doing while one of the most important infant formula factories in America deteriorated? As it turned out, that answer was easy to find. All they had to do was follow the money. Between 2019 and 2021, Abbott's net profits nearly doubled from approximately $3.6 billion to $7.1 billion. Revenue from its American pediatric nutrition business increased by about 16%. Yet, instead of investing those funds in its operations, the company returned billions of dollars to investors. In 2021 alone, Abbott spent more than $800 million repurchasing approximately 6.5 million shares of its own stock. The company increased its dividend. Its CEO received a $5 million annual raise. At the same time, more than 310 current water-related issues had been documented at Sturgis, as Abbott announced another stock buyback program worth as much as $5 billion shortly before the formula crisis exploded.
Now, in a letter to Abbott, the Senate Finance Committee accuses the company of using corporate tax cuts to enrich executives and shareholders. Records show Abbott's profits increased 90% since 2019, and the company spent $8 billion in stock buybacks during that period. The Senate committee claiming, as Abbott spent billions buying back its own stock, it appears that it failed to make necessary repairs to fix a critical manufacturing plant.
Abbott scoffed at the comparison, arguing that its stock buybacks were perfectly legal and unrelated to conditions at Sturgis. The company maintained that the Cronobacter contamination, which they reminded had not been indisputably tied to them, was simply an unforeseeable accident. However, as lawmakers and journalists continued digging, Abbott's explanation became almost impossible to accept.
So ABC News has learned that Abbott Nutrition and the FDA were made aware of some of the whistleblowers' allegations about that Abbott formula plant in Sturgis, Michigan, a full year before the company's massive recall would shut down that facility.
Another bombshell. In the summer of 2022, after the congressional hearings, another whistleblower complaint was discovered. It had come from the same former Abbott employee. However, this one was dated February 16, 2021. Almost an entire year before the recall. It was filed with the Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration shortly after the employee was terminated. The allegations were familiar. He claimed the formula was being distributed without sufficient evidence that it was safe to consume, and warned that equipment inside the Sturgis facility desperately needed repairs. 3 days later, OSHA did its job and forwarded the complaint to both Abbott and the FDA. Unfortunately, the FDA employee responsible for monitoring the complaint inbox reportedly archived the email by accident, where it remained forgotten for 15 months. And the only reason it was rediscovered at all was because a Wall Street Journal reporter went looking for it. Once again, the scandal's timeline shifted. The problems at Sturgis and the warnings about them went back further than previously understood, as did Abbott's history with Cronobacter, which additional research revealed stretched back nearly two decades. At the time, Abbott disputed that its products were responsible, and previous litigation involving sick children had either been fought aggressively in court or resolved through confidential settlements, keeping much of that history out of public view. More recently, records obtained through public information requests revealed that the FDA had received 128 consumer complaints involving Abbott formula between December 2021 and March 2022. Most troubling, as many as 9 infant deaths had been reported to the agency since early 2021 in cases where the children had consumed Abbott formula, far more than the 2 deaths initially associated with the 2022 recall. Once again, it wasn't the FDA that connected the dots. Journalist and food safety expert Phyllis Entis uncovered the broader pattern by piecing it together from the agency's own records. Does that mean that Abbott formula caused those deaths? Certainly not. The complaints alone do not establish causation. But viewed holistically, with the whistleblower reports, the sanitation problems, the previous Cronobacter litigation, and the repeated warnings, the complete picture made investigators wonder, how much did Abbott know about potential problems with its formula and manufacturing operations before the country ran out of formula? And furthermore, was it criminal?
The Justice Department is conducting a criminal investigation into Abbott Laboratories' infant formula plant, this in Sturgis, Michigan. Abbott, which is based in North Chicago, says it is fully cooperating with the probe. Its Michigan plant was shut down for months last year after an FDA inspection found that bacteria could be deadly to infants.
The DOJ has informed us of its investigation, Abbott confirmed in a January 2023 statement, and we're cooperating fully. The company's legal counsel went straight to work. But again, this was not unfamiliar territory. In fact, it was practically business as usual. Abbott Laboratories was no stranger to controversy.
Millions of hospital patients in this country receive intravenous treatments through a bottle apparatus such as this one. This one is not a product of Abbott Laboratories, but Abbott distributes nearly half of all intravenous fluids used in this country. The FDA says 350 cases of blood infection, including 9 deaths, have been traced to contaminated intravenous products manufactured by the Chicago-based company.
In 1971, federal health officials began investigating a mysterious wave of bloodstream infections spreading through hospitals across the United States. They eventually traced the source to 30 batches of improperly sealed intravenous solutions manufactured by Abbott Laboratories. Months later, Abbott recalled its entire line of IV products. But by then, the damage was already incomprehensible. More than 400 patients had reportedly fallen ill, and at least 50 had died. 5 Abbott executives were subsequently indicted on 60 counts related to the adulteration and misbranding of drugs. But the criminal case against them ultimately collapsed after a judge ruled that extensive publicity had made a fair trial impossible. In the end, Abbott, the corporation, pleaded no contest to a single misdemeanor charge and paid a $1,000 fine. It was undoubtedly not the first controversy in Abbott's long history, but the IV contamination crisis is generally regarded as the company's first major scandal, and it would be far from the last. In the decades that followed, Abbott would become embroiled in so many recalls, lawsuits, investigations, settlements, and allegations of misconduct that analyzing every one of them would be a monumental task. However, a quick glance reveals enough trends to make one wonder whether this kind of careless corporate behavior is an accident or standard operating procedure for one of the world's largest healthcare companies. For example,
this Lewiston, Maine urologist is one of 4 doctors indicted in a sweeping federal investigation of how a major pharmaceutical company allegedly offered big money to get doctors to prescribe a cancer drug called Lupron. According to the indictment, Dr. Joel Osteen, who says he is cooperating with authorities, made tens of thousands of dollars by taking free samples from drug company representatives and then billing insurance companies and Medicare for the full price.
In 2001, federal investigators began examining the marketing of Lupron, a prostate cancer drug sold through a joint venture between Abbott and a Japanese pharmaceutical company. Prosecutors alleged that the company's sales reps would routinely provide doctors free samples of Lupron that they could then bill to Medicare to essentially receive kickbacks, thus creating an incentive to prescribe the drug more often. Abbott's joint venture pleaded guilty to a conspiracy charge and agreed to pay $875 million to resolve the investigation. By then, Lupron had generated an estimated $7 billion in revenue for the company. That same year, Abbott's nutrition division was caught up in a similar scheme. According to federal prosecutors, Abbott supplied expensive feeding pumps and tubes at little or no cost to nursing home suppliers that agreed to purchase Abbott's enteral formula and other products. As an added bonus, the company then helped those customers disguise the arrangement so they could receive reimbursement from Medicare and Medicaid for equipment they had essentially received for free. Again, a kickback scheme in which everybody wins except the American taxpayer. In that case, Abbott ultimately pleaded guilty to obstructing a federal healthcare investigation and paid more than $600 million in criminal and civil fines. At the time, the responsible Abbott subsidiary generated more than $2 billion a year. But one of the most infamous examples of Abbott's malfeasance, however, came in 2012. In a case one federal prosecutor described as elder abuse, the company organized kickbacks to doctors in the form of rebates to prescribe a seizure medication called Depakote as an off-label treatment to control agitation and aggression in patients with elderly dementia and schizophrenia, treatments for which Abbott's own studies had deemed ineffective. A whistleblower ultimately exposed the scheme.
We found that Abbott illegally marketed Depakote for non-approved uses, including as an alternative to antipsychotics to treat dementia patients in nursing homes, as you heard Tim mention and describe to you, and for schizophrenia. We also found evidence that Abbott paid rebates to healthcare professionals and long-term care pharmacies for increasing the off-label use of Depakote.
Abbott's penalty for its unlawful promotion of Depakote? $1.6 billion. One of the largest pharmaceutical fraud settlements in American history, the headlines proclaimed, which certainly sounds momentous until you discover Abbott earned more than $13 billion in sales during the period covered by the illegal conduct. It's just good business, honestly, admired by those among us with the most sociopathic tendencies. There's a reason Abbott routinely finds itself in hot water as it relates to deceptive marketing. Even if it seems low stakes, such as advertising nutritional shakes as doctor-recommended meal replacements for healthy adults when they're not.
Sure, it's even recommended number one by doctors as a source of complete balance.
Or promoting the children's version as a way to induce growth when it doesn't.
And thanks to Pediasure, my big guy's catching up.
These deceptions are not mistakes. They're part of the formula. A formula that has worked time and time again. Bend the rules. Pay the fine, say you're sorry if you want, then laugh all the way to the bank. In fact, the second example, the Pediasure case, which is still working its way through the courts, offers an even more cynical illustration of Abbott's business model. According to the company's own publicly suppressed studies, it has never been established that Pediasure helps otherwise healthy children grow taller. Nevertheless, bottles of the nutritional shake, complete with the giraffe standing beside ruler-like markings, are advertised as, quote, clinically proven to help kids grow. The microscopic fine print underneath the bottle provides some important context, however. That clinical research Abbott is referencing involved malnourished children in developing countries. The current litigation alleges that when healthy, well-fed American children drink two Pediasure shakes a day, as Abbott recommends, the extra calories and sugar can instead contribute to excessive weight gain, which should be concerning, but not the Abbott laboratories. Because guess what else Abbott sells? Glucose monitoring systems. To be clear, there is no evidence Abbott is deliberately making children overweight so it can sell them diabetes products later. But something about the arrangement feels almost too convenient to be accidental. Especially when you consider how clearly Abbott understands the value of acquiring customers early. Which brings us back to infant formula. As mentioned earlier, three companies, Abbott, Nestle's Gerber, and Mead Johnson, have dominated the American formula market for decades. One reason is WIC, the federal nutrition program that has historically accounted for more than half of all infant formula purchased in the United States. Individual states award WIC contracts through competitive bidding. Manufacturers offer steep rebates in exchange for becoming the state's primary formula supplier. Sounds like a bad deal, but it isn't. Whatever loss the companies realize by selling the products at a discount is essentially a marketing expense, because winning those state contracts guarantees access to repeat, loyal, government-funded customers, and perhaps more importantly, shelf space. Retailers would be fools not to carry large inventories of the WIC-approved brand. For formula companies, that means increasing visibility among other shoppers, including the more lucrative retail price buyers that Abbott lovingly refers to as private mommies. And despite the immense value of these contracts, competition is limited. Since 1996, every state WIC formula contract has been awarded to one of just three manufacturers. Take a guess which three. I'll give you a second. Correct. And they have no intention of giving them up.
Meanwhile, the Federal Trade Commission is reportedly investigating if Abbott Laboratories and other formula makers colluded on bids for state contracts. The FTC is also looking into whether company coordination affected sales more broadly outside of just the formula supply program.
Brand loyalty is the name of the game. That's why formula companies have been accused of colluding with their competitors. That's why the industry has employed armies of lobbyists to undermine efforts promoting breastfeeding abroad, even enlisting the influence of the American government, and at times the threat of withholding foreign aid. It's why a formula manufacturer implicated in a contamination crisis might have every financial incentive to delay a massive recall. And it's why these companies desperately want their formula to be the first bottle fed to a newborn baby. Because the earlier you acquire a customer, the harder it is to lose them. Which helps explain why, before the Cronobacter scandal had even run its course, Abbott Laboratories was already embroiled in another infant formula-related controversy. Support for Swindled comes from Gusto. When I started this podcast, I never gave much consideration to the fact that I would have to become intimately familiar with payroll taxes or quarterly filings or onboarding paperwork and all the other administrative joys that come with running a small business. Unfortunately, nobody else was volunteering to do it for me until Gusto. I've used Gusto for years now, and it turned payroll from something I had to constantly think about into something that mostly takes care of itself. Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all in one, remote friendly, and incredibly easy to use. So you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. Gusto handles automatic payroll tax filing and simple direct deposits. And there are built-in tools for things like offer letters and onboarding documents. You can even run payroll as often as you need for one monthly price with no hidden fees or surprises. If I could go back and give myself one piece of business advice, it would be to stop doing this stuff manually. Try Gusto today at gusto.com/swindled and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/swindled. One more time, gusto.com/swindled.
Got a phone call in the middle, early morning, telling me that she had got really sick and they had to do an emergency surgery, like immediately. So I get up, I tell my mom, hey, you gotta keep Isaiah, I bet I gotta go. I get to the hospital. They wouldn't let me in the back because they were already doing the procedure on her because they didn't even have time to take her to a surgeon room. They had to do it right in her NICU room.
When Margot Gill gave birth to her daughter Robin at St. Mary's Hospital in St. Louis on August 26, 2021, she was just 26 weeks pregnant, roughly 14 weeks premature. Robin would spend the next several months in the neonatal intensive care unit at Cardinal Glennon Hospital while her tiny body continued developing outside the womb. 6 weeks later, in October, Margot was at home trying to get some rest when the hospital called. Something was wrong. Robin was gravely ill. Her stomach had become swollen. Her veins were bulging beneath discolored skin. She needed emergency surgery. By the time Margot arrived at the hospital, the operation was already underway. The situation was apparently so urgent that there hadn't even been time to move Robin to an operating room. Robin survived, but her life was forever changed before it even began. Doctors had to remove approximately 75% of her intestines. She had also suffered significant brain damage and would later be diagnosed with spastic quadriplegic cerebral palsy. Margot was told that her daughter would never walk, she would never talk, and she would depend on a feeding tube for the rest of her life.
And I mean, I could make this list as you can make it as long as you want to make it. She will be brain damaged. She will be in a wheelchair. She will live a lot of her life in isolation, cut off from contact, you know, no meaningful peer-to-peer relationships.
Robin, Margot was told, had developed a devastating intestinal disease called necrotizing enterocolitis, NEC, or NEC. It occurs when portions of the intestinal wall become so severely inflamed that they lose their blood supply and begin to die. The damaged tissue can break down and perforate, allowing bacteria and intestinal contents to spill into the abdominal cavity and bloodstream, which can lead to a whole other host of serious complications, including profound neurological impairments, organ failure, and death. And it's excruciating. Some babies require heavy sedation simply to tolerate the pain. Nurses who have cared for severe NEC cases have described the experience as incredibly traumatic, hearing the screams, watching helplessly as premature infants waste away rapidly from a disease that medicine still doesn't fully understand. The precise cause of NEC remains unclear. What doctors do know is that the more premature a baby is, the greater the risk. Their intestinal barriers, immune systems, blood flow regulation, and gut microbiomes are still developing, which leaves them especially vulnerable. They've also discovered something else. Premature babies who are formula-fed are at a significantly greater risk. Now, we're not talking about the cans of formula found on grocery store shelves. NICUs use specialized products designed specifically for premature babies, including preterm infant formula and cow's milk-based fortifiers that supplement human milk when a baby needs additional calories and nutrients. For decades, research has associated this type of formula feeding with a higher incidence of NEC than an exclusively human milk diet. As said, breast milk doesn't completely eliminate the risk either, but it does cut it in half, according to a recent study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. The American Academy of Pediatrics and the U.S. Surgeon General have likewise recognized the association between formula feeding and higher rates of NEC in premature infants.
We've got companies like Abbott and Mead who produce infant formula, and they give that infant formula to hospitals with no instructions, no warnings, no nothing. And so hospitals then feed that formula to all the babies. But what years and years, if not decades and decades of science tells us is that preterm babies can't digest that specific formula. And the reason they can't digest it is because it's made of a cow's milk enzyme.
Like many other mothers whose children are affected by the disease, Margot Gill heard about NEC for the first time after Robin was diagnosed. She sued Abbott Laboratories in August 2023. Alleging that, at the very least, doctors and parents deserve to be warned of the significantly increased risk posed by the formula. Thousands of other affected families would eventually follow suit. Naturally, Abbott defended its product and claimed the lawsuit's assertions that cow's milk-based products can cause NEC in premature infants lacked scientific support. Meritless litigation drummed up by ambulance-chasing lawyers in an attempt to move physician decisions from the hospital to the courtroom.
And there are clinical studies that have repeatedly established that these products are safe. So, you know, so these litigation cases, they're really seeking to advance a theory promoted by plaintiff lawyers that distorts the science and it distorts, distorts everything that we know. And it's not supported by the medical community. So, you know, we're preparing for our cases to be able to kind of lay out, you know, the facts, the science, and the data, and we stand behind our products.
During Abbott's first quarter 2024 earnings conference call, CEO Robert Ford described the company's preterm infant formula as essential, life-saving, and the standard of care, something Abbott produced almost as a public service. These preterm products only generate $9 million annually for Abbott, Ford explained. That's negligible for a $40 billion a year company. But stop making them, he warned, and the consequences could be devastating. Hospitals depended on these products. Babies depended on these products. And without them, the country could face another public health crisis. And yet, Ford suggested, Abbott might eventually have no choice but to stop production if the neck lawsuits expose the company to what he called indefinite liability.
To your question, if the regulatory process is disregarded, if the science is disregarded, it's going to be very difficult for any company to remain on the market with these products, taking on that indefinite liability here, at least in the United States.
Robert Ford's description of Abbott's charitable contribution was a bit disingenuous. He failed to mention that preterm infant formula generates only $9 million a year because the company gives most of it away to hospitals for free. There it is again, another highly calculated first step in building brand loyalty. Margo Gill's attorney, Jake Plattenberger, described this aspect of Abbott's business to the jury when the case went to trial in July 2024. Plattenberger also relayed the fact that Abbott's sales force, which he referred to as the machine, had visited the hospital where Robin was admitted at least 1,300 times in the 5 years before she was born. And this, he said, happens at every hospital across the country.
And I think that the evidence is going to be very clear. I think that the evidence is going to show that Abbott is responsible. And it boils down to, again, three simple things. Abbott knew, okay, they've known for a long time that there's a problem with this product. Abbott didn't tell. They made no attempt even to tell parents, and no attempt really to tell physicians in a clear and direct way about the risks of this product. And because of those decisions, babies got hurt.
Abbott's attorneys argued that Robin got hurt because of trauma at birth that deprived her brain of oxygen before she even received the formula. And that even if the product did contain a warning label, it wouldn't have mattered because neither Margo Gill, the doctors, nor the nurses would have read it. The jurors saw things differently. On July 26, 2024, in a 9-3 vote, they found Abbott Laboratories guilty. Margo Gill was awarded $95 million in compensatory damages and $400 million in punitive damages. The jury was sending a message.
Monumental verdict in St. Louis tonight against baby formula manufacturer Abbott Laboratories. Jurors deciding that the company should be forced to pay nearly $500 million.
It's justice for somebody who's really deserving. I mean, Robin, the kid, is just profoundly injured.
There are similar lawsuits taking place in other parts of the country as well.
Abbott immediately announced that it planned to, quote, pursue all avenues to have the erroneous decision overturned, and for good reason. Hundreds of similar neck cases were on the docket. The company couldn't afford to let a $500 million verdict set the precedent. A few months later, Abbott received some potentially useful support from its friends in the U.S. government. In October 2024, the FDA, CDC, and NIH released a report stating that there was no conclusive evidence that preterm infant formula cases causes neck. It was convenient timing. Abbott planned to introduce the statement in future neck litigation. But when plaintiff's attorneys sought internal Abbott communications about the document's formulation, Abbott quickly withdrew its request to use it. Instead, the company began lobbying Congress to pass a law granting preterm infant formulas the same legal protections vaccines receive. But before that could happen, another jury returned a multi-million dollar verdict against the company. And in May 2026, Abbott suffered an even more consequential loss when the Missouri Court of Appeals upheld the $495 million Gill verdict, concluding that the evidence supported the jury's punitive damages and describing aspects of Abbott's conduct as significantly reprehensible. 3 months later, Abbott admitted defeat without admitting guilt. The company agreed to pay approximately $670 million to resolve neck claims involving roughly 2,000 additional infants. Even then, the litigation was nowhere near over. Abbott claims approximately 1,700 lawsuits remain pending in state and federal courts involving claims on behalf of roughly 12,700 infants. And then there was that other unresolved matter, the federal criminal investigation into Abbott's Sturgis formula plant and the Cronobacter contamination. Could actual people at the company be held responsible? Not a chance. Trump's DOJ squashed the investigation. According to CBS News, the Deputy Attorney General's office, then led by Todd Blanche, overruled prosecutors who wanted to file criminal charges. The Justice Department will instead pursue a, quote, significant monetary resolution, which, as we know, has been so effective in influencing Abbott's behavior in the past. Ensuring the safety of our nation's food supply is a top priority for the Trump administration, the DOJ spokesperson told the Wall Street Journal without laughing. However, this Department of Justice does not believe in regulation by prosecution. Well, if that doesn't leave you feeling completely reassured about who is policing the infant formula industry and the food system as a whole, here's one last factoid to really sour your mood. Recognize the name Kyle Diamantis? Besides being Donald Trump Jr.'s hunting buddy, he is the current acting commissioner of food and drugs at the FDA. Now guess what Mr. Diamantis used to do? He was one of the corporate lawyers who defended Abbott and its neck cases. Now tell me again, who is steering this ship? Or better yet, tell me if you're still on it, because everyone else, including preterm infants, is getting left behind. Swindled is written, researched, produced, and hosted by me, a concerned citizen, with original music by Trevor Howard, aka Deformer, aka Cronus. For more information about Swindled, you can visit swindledpodcast.com and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Swindled Podcast. Or you can send us a postcard at P.O. Box 2045, Austin, Texas 78768. But please, no packages. We do not trust you. Swindled is a completely independent production, which means no network, no investors, no bosses, no shadowy money men, no private mommies. And we plan to keep it that way, but we need your support. Become a valued listener on Patreon, Apple Podcast, or Spotify at valuedlistener.com. For as little as $5 a month, you will receive early access to new episodes and exclusive access to bonus episodes that you can't find anywhere else. And everything is 100% commercial free. Become a valued listener at valuedlistener.com. Or if you want to support the show and need something to wear and need something to wear while disposing of all your recalled food, consider buying something you don't need at swindledpodcast.com/shop. There are t-shirts, patches, hats, hoodies, posters, coffee mugs, and more. swindledpodcast.com/shop. And remember to use coupon code CAPITALISM to receive 10% off your order. If you don't want anything in return for your support, you can always simply donate using the form on the homepage. That's it. Thanks for listening.
Hello, my name is Lauren from the most corrupt state in the country, Ohio.
Hello, my name is Bella. And Bolu. We are from San Diego.
Hello, my name is Allison from Bristol, Tennessee.
And I am a concerned citizen and a valued listener.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We love the show.
XOXO.
This was an inside job.